Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, and my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. Just like your body needs to be fed, or it'll get weak, your spirit needs to be fed, or it'll get weak. And faith is not of the head. Faith is of the heart, of the inner man. You don't believe God with your intellect, with logic, reasoning. Faith is of the heart. With the heart, man believes, Romans 10 says. But if things seem too big, too hard, so out of reach, so impossible, it's not because they are. It's because faith is just so small. Mm-hmm. And faith is so weak. When your faith gets stronger, it doesn't look impossible anymore.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And this is a wonderful thing. This is transformative. Because there can be things that have just seemed completely beyond you for years. Impossible to get out of, or impossible to get, or to reach, or to be a part of. But by spending time with God, feeding on His Word, being immersed in His presence, in His Spirit, something amazing happens inside you. Instead of living in such a fishbowl vision, you get enlarged and you get expanded. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the Lord says, lift up your head.
Yes.
I want to show you something. You remember he took Abraham outside.
Yes.
He's going to enlarge his vision. And oh boy, how much bigger could you get? He's look up in the night sky.
Yes.
Whew, how many stars? What's he doing? He's working on his vision.
Yes.
Right? And while he's talking and speaking to him, and he has got his eyes on all those myriad stars and galaxies, something happened inside him, and he conceived of something that was impossible. When God told him, you'll be the father of many nations, he didn't see it. He didn't know how it could be. He just said, okay. Yes, sir.
Amen.
That's how it'll be.
Yes.
Amen.
That's a miracle.
Yes.
That's a spiritual miracle.
Yes.
That's a miracle inside our heart and being. And that's the kind of thing that happens right here in Faith School.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
So you're at the right place. Come on in. Take your seat here and let the Word work mightily in you. Father, we're so thankful, so thankful, so thankful. And we ask that this continue and be enlarged in us to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now we have been on a series, like we've said numerous times, we're calling Faith for Provision. Go online, faithschool.org, and get all the previous ones leading up to this. We've already covered a whole bunch up until now. And we're up to reason number, 19 in our study, that we're sure abundant provision's always God's will for us all because of the tabernacle. Now, we were reading in yesterday's class in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 8, and over half the chapter 9, talking about this tabernacle. Why would we still be talking about the tabernacle in the New Testament? Well, notice this, and I'll just read it to you, but in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, which is also New Testament, he said in verse 11, 1 Corinthians 10, 11, I need to back up a little bit. Verse 1 says, our fathers were under the cloud. They passed through the sea. They were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And he talks about exactly what we're talking about with the tabernacle, God's deliverance of his people out of Egyptian bondage, how that he met them at Mount Sinai, gave them the Ten Commandments and his laws and statutes and ordinances. And one of the first things he gave them in that was instructions about a sanctuary, to build a sanctuary. And so here in 10:11, 1 Corinthians 10:11, all these things happened unto them for in samples, or that can be translated types, and they're written for our admonition. The Old Testament, the journeyings of the Israelites, the giving of the law, the sanctuary is written for us. All of that's recorded for us today. Is that what he's saying?
Yes.
All these things happen to them for examples or types, and they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And that's talking about the latest people who've ever lived, which right now is us. And he's saying that all of that, in what people call the Old Testament, is written for you. And it's types that give you insight into spiritual things and heavenly things. And so you do yourself a great disservice if you ignore what people call the Old Testament, which is, it's not, all of it's not just old. It's why I keep saying what people call. That's a title people gave it. It consists of the creation account and the earliest record of earth and human beings and the giving of the law and all the prophets. And it is not an old, out-of-date, irrelevant word. It is living.
Yes.
Word of God.
Yes.
Any and everything that ever came out of God's mouth is light.
Yes.
And revelation and truth.
Yes.
And good.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we prayed in yesterday's class asking the Lord to show us what we as current day, present day believers, Christians, are to see and know about this tabernacle. And so we're in faith about that, are we?
Yes.
We're in faith about
yes.
that. So go back then to Exodus, the 25th chapter, and let's continue learning about the tabernacle. In Exodus 25, and a few lessons back, we begin in chapter 24 because it reminds you that Moses is on the mount, that God is personally meeting him, Mount Sinai, and the glory of God, and the whole thing is just engulfed in flame and fire that's shooting up out of sight into heaven, and the ground is shaking. And it scared the people so bad that all of them backed off way, way, way back. And after God got through speaking audibly out of the fire, giving the Ten Commandments, they sent representatives to Moses and they said, please, you go talk to him. We think if we hear that voice again, we will all die. It was so powerful and it was so, to them, scary. And so Moses did that then. So now he goes to the mount and God calls him up into the thing. Moses was not a scaredy cat, no, was he? You got to give credit to the man. And he went on up in the cloud. You couldn't see anything. It was darkness, and that's what saved him from being consumed, because God had told him, later nobody could see me and live. So God put darkness around him to prevent that. But he could hear him, and he could see his form at times. Moses beheld God's form and heard his voice and was taking down and writing down, and God even gave him his tablets, that God wrote himself of the Ten Commandments. And so that is what's happening here. Moses is on that mountain in the glory during these 40 days. And verse 25 is some of the very first things that God is speaking to him about on this mountain. He said, speak to the children of Israel, Exodus 25:2, that they bring me an offering. One of the first things he brought up is an offering. Of every man that gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And he immediately, though, qualified it. This is not required. This is nobody making you do anything. And that's why, you know, and it depends on the language. King James sometimes will say take or pay tithes or take an offering. But if you look at the language, it has to do, other places the same words are translated give or receive. So when I'm talking about offerings, I prefer not to use the term take it. We receive it.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I don't pay tithes. Actually, there's a phrase, tithe the tithe, tithe the tenth. There's a whole chapter given in Deuteronomy about how to tithe. You're supposed to say things. You're supposed to be thankful. You're supposed to rejoice and give thanks in what God has given you. So you don't, and one reason I say it is, and you know, words are used differently at different times, and you don't pay tithes like you're paying your electric bill.
Right.
Is what I'm saying. And so if it helps you like it did me and does me to use a certain word connected to it, then I keep my thinking right. We're not taking any offerings from anybody. We receive them when they're right.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Right.
And we're not paying tithes like we're paying a bill. We tithe the tithe. It's an honor thing. But do you understand the idea is that nobody's making you do it on either one. And you'll find all through here, he keeps bringing up this willing thing. I mean, not once, not twice. I don't know, dozens of times through these chapters, he keeps bringing it up. Everybody he'd say that's willing. Everybody that's willing, obviously, he does not want a grudging offering. And isn't that what the New Testament says? Right? Well, just turn over there, hold your place, and go to 2 Corinthians. In the 8th chapter, in the 9th chapter, a lot is given about this. And the Lord said in the 9th, well, anyway, if I start preaching on this, I'll take too much time. you know the passage that God said he doesn't want you to give grudgingly, nor out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And he goes into detail about how the saints at Corinth were poor, were really poor. And yet, out of their deep poverty, they abounded in liberality.
Yes.
Do you know you can be generous and have almost nothing?
Yes.
Huh? You don't have to have a lot to be a generous soul. Hmm? I remember when Phyllis and I went to Bible school, we went to Rhema, and this would have been back in 1981, I guess, along in there, 1981. And we were from a small town, and we had just gotten to a larger city. Tulsa was a big city to us. And we finally, by the grace and mercy of God, got the cheapest, oldest little apartment downtown in the roughest part of town. And so we were just glad to have any place because it didn't look like we could find a place. And so we arrived, and it was the rougher part of town, and we're little country people, and this was all new to us, feeling a bit stretched. And a man came out of the door that was across the hall apartment from us, and he was a Christian, and his wife was a Christian. And they said, hi, our name's such as, and we said, hi. He said, you moving in? Yeah. He said, well, hey, we just got a pot of beans and rice. Would you like to eat? We thought, absolutely. Yes, we would. And so we came over there, and they had the tiniest little old table that they got used somewhere, just like us. And she pulled out that big pot of beans, and we had the greatest meal.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
It was not, 9 course.
Yeah.
It was not the biggest, most expensive. Beans. Mm-hmm. Beans. I think she put some onions in them too, though. Yeah. But I think sometimes people have not been generous because of their pride. They don't want to invite somebody unless it's something expensive and fancy. That's wrong. That's foolish. And a lot of people could be enjoying a lot of things. If they just, I know my grandpa used to have a saying, and in the deep south where I grew up, especially back in my grandpa's time, they didn't have telephones and all that kind of thing. And so people would just show up at your house, you know. And they might show up at dinner time. We call it supper time. And my granddad would come out on the porch. He'd say, "Well, peas and pone, eat it or leave it alone." He said, "Such as it is, you're welcome to it." You know, so what we have, they didn't have a lot, but you're welcome to it. And that is more important than having a lot.
That's right.
Are y'all awake, class?
Yes.
It's also how you get more. Because
yes.
If you're a liberal soul and you're a giver, if you give freely, freely you'll receive.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you'll be able to freely give even more. And how do we get into all that? Well, we're talking about God loves
a cheerful,
willing, wants to do it. And he had said, and this is New Testament scripture, he said, not grudgingly. Not grudgingly. Nor of necessity. Is he serious about that?
Yes.
He's saying, don't come and bring an offering because you think you have to. Don't do it grudgingly. If you're looking at it and the offering plate's going by and you're thinking, man, I could have used that. I could. Well, for all the good it's going to do you, you should keep it.
Yeah.
I'm serious. That's God's perspective of it. He is not okay with you doing things or me doing things grudgingly. Because it's the heart that he looks at all the time. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. And it is the heart of the giver with God that makes the gift acceptable. He doesn't receive all gifts. Read Malachi sometimes. He was saying, they were offering things. He was saying, shall I receive this of you? I won't receive it. God doesn't receive all, even though people might receive it, doesn't mean God received it. But what makes it acceptable or not acceptable? The heart.
Yes.
The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, Abel's faith made his gift a better gift. Hallelujah. And we're still talking about it to this day because his faith prompted him. He obviously was willing to do it, to give his best. He gave of the best that he had in his herd, and he's doing it from a willing heart. Can you see why God loves a cheerful giver? So say it out loud. Lord, help me with my heart.
Lord, help me with my heart.
Any adjustments,
I should make.
I purpose.
Not to be.
Grudging. Or think I have to.
But
I will be willing.
A willing heart.
A glad heart. A cheerful giver.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, first off, we're going to have an offering. And tell them all, bring me an offering. But then he's quick to say, everybody that's willing. That's the criteria. He didn't say you had to have a certain amount to even get involved in this. Did he?
No.
He never does that. Which means anybody can be involved.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Whether you got 2 million or 2 dimes.
That's right.
You can get involved. Right?
Yes.
And the way God sees things, nobody can outgive you because they have more. Because
right.
God doesn't just go by amount.
Right.
He goes by percentage,
yes,
which is connected to heart.
Yes.
That's how he goes. Remember the when Jesus was watching the offering one day and saw the widow put in her 2 mites? Wonder if he still watches offerings.
Yes, he does.
And he's looking to see how much was put in. and even remarks about it in front of everybody. He speaks out publicly and draws attention. He said, would you look here? Biggest giver of the day. This widow woman. Now, amount-wise, she hardly gave anything, but she gave 100%.
Yeah.
Nobody can give more than that,
right?
And she put those people that were giving big amounts, she put them in the shade because they were token giving of the great amount they had. And man, she's serious giving. And you notice what he didn't say, oh, dear, 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 no, get your two mites back. You rich guys, come over here and help this one. He didn't do that. He let it stay in the offering plate. Is that right?
Yes.
Why? Because everybody needs to honor God.
Yes.
And everybody needs to sow seed.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Do you believe that that was the end of that story?
No.
That woman gave everything she had and now she's just, you know, poverty stricken? And that's, no. How many think the Lord saw that and God honored that and she reaped?
Yes.
You know she did.
Yes, she did.
You know she did. God is faithful. And so he says, tell everybody, bring me an offering, and everybody that gives it willingly with his heart, you will take my offering. And so, verse 8, he says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Go to the 35th chapter for time's sake, 35. And he starts in verse 4. This is a good place to see some of the detail of what he told them to bring. Moses spake, this is 35:4. He spoke to all the congregation. This is the thing the Lord commanded. Take from among you an offering to the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. You see why I say he keeps saying it?
Yes.
I mean, he just, this is two times of, I don't know, dozens. Let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold, silver, brass, blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, ram's skins dyed red, badger skin, shittim wood, which is acacia, oil for the light, spices, sweet incense, onyx stones, stones to be set for the ephod, for the breastplate. Every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. And without going into all the detail, he told them to make the Ark of the Covenant with the acacia wood and overlay the whole thing with pure gold. And the rings and the wooden rods that went through the rings, every bit of it is overlaid completely with pure gold. And he told them to prepare, you know, the candlestick and all of its utensils and instruments, all of pure gold. And he told them to make the laver and then the altar. Some of that they used brass and bronze because of the heat. But again, some of the same best wood you could get, best materials. And all of these things add up. To, you know, money-wise, amount-wise, I'm going to give you some of the details of it. But we got through reading in the New Testament. These things are types. They're examples. God used to like, for one instance, the ephod on the priest's outer garment had ropes of chains of pure gold holding it. Now, if I came in here today with a big platinum and gold and diamond chain, huh? Some people might talk about it. They say, have you seen that preacher on TV? That big gold chain? There are people who would say, I don't like that. That's worldly. That's flashy. That's showy. Watch out.
Yeah.
Whose idea was it?
That's right.
Huh? And on this breastplate, you got big diamonds, rubies, sapphires, emeralds, big ones. 12. Huh? So if I came in here with the big gold chain, big rubies and diamonds on my medallion, people say, well, I just don't like that kind of thing. Well, you won't like heaven. Because this is patterned exactly after what's in heaven. This is God's taste. You going to call him flashy? You going to call him gaudy? Maybe you need to be renewed in your thinking. And my time is up. Can you believe that? My time is up. Say it out loud. Lord, if you like nice things,
if you like nice things,
I like nice things.
I like nice things.
I'm with you.
I'm with you.
I agree with you.
You are right.
Well, there's much more to talk about. Come back next time. We'll get into a lot more detail. We'll see you soon here in Faith School. Sure enjoyed being with you again this week. God is such a good God. I like to speak over our partners every end of every week when we can. And we're seeing that God is a God of richness. In the New Testament, he said, God gives us richly all things to enjoy. You don't have to live just a minimalist get-by life. God will give you things that are just nice, just for you to enjoy, if you put him first and you're not covetous. Father, I speak over our partners and all that desire to join and be a part. Increase. And I ask that you direct them and guide them so that they're able to harvest some nice things, some fine things. You didn't just make all these things for unbelievers or people that curse you or blaspheme. You made them for your people. And so cause it to come into their life, them to find it, it to find them, that they may rejoice in good things in you and see how that you richly bless us with every good thing to enjoy, and that others may see them and know how good you are. Well, I'm believing that for you, and I'm speaking it over you in faith. Come back next time. We'll shout about some more in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.